Well, good morning. I'm really happy to be here this morning. I appreciate all of you coming in on the last day of the conference. I know sometimes that's people are going back and forth, so we really welcome you here. I think we have a really interesting program this morning, some really terrific presenters. One of our presenters is Dr. Rashida Dorsey will not be here this morning. So we will have three presenters, and what we're going to do is I'm going to introduce each of them, and then they will do their give their presentations, and then we'll have some time for some questions afterwards. So if you would save those questions, and we can respond to them after we get through with the presentations, be sure everybody gets an opportunity. So our first speaker is going to be Monica Valdez-Lupi. She's with the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers. She's the Chief Program Officer for the Health Systems Transformation Team at ASTO. And her area of program includes health equity, public health integration with primary care, Medicaid and public health partnerships, public health informatics, and state health policy. She also served as the Deputy Commissioner for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and was the Chief of Staff at the Boston Public Health Commission. Our second speaker will be Janelle Schrag. She's with America's Essential Hospitals. She serves as a research associate for the America's for Essential Hospitals. Her work's primarily focused on population health, health equity, and delivery system reform in settings that serve low-income, vulnerable patients. She also works closely with policy staff at America's Essential Hospitals in support of the organization's Medicaid waiver initiatives. She has a bachelor's degree in biology from Northwest University in Washington State, and her master's of public health is from King's College in London. Our third speaker will be Ian John. He is the policy director for Asian and Pacific Islanders American Health Forum, where he assists with the organization's national and state advocacy efforts to improve the health of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. Prior to working at APIHF, that's a lot of acronym, he worked as a policy analyst and legal advisor for the Maryland Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities. He's a graduate of the Maryland School of Law and Loma Linda University School of Public Health. So please welcome Monica Valdez-Lupi. She's going to speak on successes and challenges in community health improvement, perspectives from early collaboration. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is my cozy small group, so we'll hopefully get through our slides quickly and be able to have some good discussion at the end of our presentations. Thank you very much for allowing us to speak with you all today and highlight some of the work that each of us is doing in our respective organizations to improve community health efforts. So I think this is the formal slide that I have no relationships to disclose. What I plan on doing in my time is walking through some information that we've gathered and published in an issue brief, highlighting three efforts among our state health departments to work with their community stakeholders, their hospitals, their community health centers, and a broad stakeholder group to improve population health. I hope that we'll have some time also to put a shout out there for our board president's president's challenge. So our board president this year is Dr. Ed Ellinger from Minnesota. And his president's challenge is focused on advancing health equity and achieving optimal health for all, which is very much tied to the topic for this morning. So ASTO, for those of you who don't know, is the membership organization for the state and territorial health officials. We are structured, organization is structured to complement the different programs within the state and territorial health agencies. Our primary function is to provide capacity building support, technical assistance, disseminate best learnings and practices to members, and advocacy. And these are our four key programmatic areas. I oversee health systems transformation. We also have colleagues leading our work
on family and community health, health security, which is our public health preparedness initiatives, and science and strategy. So I imagine since you're all here early this morning on the last day of the meeting that you're familiar with the IRS requirement for nonprofit hospitals. And really, this is one of the sections in the Affordable Care Act that has received a lot of attention, and I know that ASTHO, along with other national organizations, did do a lot during the rulemaking process to strengthen the ties and the linkages and the roles that local and state health departments would play in working with hospitals as they develop not only the assessments, but also the implementation strategy. So there's been a lot of energy, I think, and focus over the years on this particular section. There, you may have attended sessions throughout the week that made the ties to a public health accreditation, and that won't be the focus of my remarks. I'm really going to be using the time to highlight the efforts in three states. And a lot has happened, I think, since we published the issue brief. So one question I had to the group, and I know there's one other person here from Massachusetts, but are there any other colleagues from Maryland or North Carolina? Okay, and where are you from?
I'm a student, but I'm from Maryland.
Okay.
I'm from Maryland, but I'm not a colleague.
Okay. You're incognito today. So we might, you know, during the discussion, it would be interesting if you are hearing about some progress on some of the information I'll be sharing. The issue brief was published last year. So as I mentioned, this has been really an exciting time for the state and local health departments to strengthen the work that they're doing with hospitals and also with their community members. And I think I was at a meeting earlier this week with American Hospital Association, NACHO, and the University of Kentucky, and American Heart Association, brainstorming on ways that we could work more collaboratively at the national level to highlight and showcase the different efforts that are underway on the implementation strategies in particular. So it's sort of that second phase of the assessment piece. So we'll start with Massachusetts, and I'll point out that we had in Massachusetts really some foundational work from the early 70s with the passage of determination of need regulations in 1971. In other states, this is called the certificate of need process, and this the regulations within this program really allowed the states to adopt multiple approaches and strategies, both from a statutory and regulatory framework, to promote accessible, cost-effective, quality health services for our residents. And looking at the whole package of requirements under the DON law really provided the infrastructure and the support that was needed to facilitate community health planning provisions within the Affordable Care Act and the new IRS requirement. The work on community benefits is actually shared between the Attorney General's office and the State Health Department. So the AG maintains guidelines for nonprofit hospitals and health plans on how their community benefit obligations should be met, providing very specific direction on how they engage with the community, the needs assessment process, and a standardized way of publicly reporting how they're investing those community benefits. At the State Health Department, we work closely with different community coalitions to ensure that those community benefit resources were being used in effective ways and really meeting the community needs that had been identified in that particular community. And one of my former colleagues in the audience, Jeff Wilkinson, who is now at Boston University School of Social Work, actually led this activity for us when we were at the State Department of Public Health. So he has to jet to another session, but I can pass along his contact afterwards if you have specific questions. There are two examples that we highlighted in our brief. One that came out of Central Massachusetts and a partnership between University of Massachusetts Memorial Medical Center and the Worcester, so a local health department. And really, I think the catalyst for this alliance, which is the Central Massachusetts Regional Public Health Alliance, was the economic downturn in 2008. And so community residents, our hospital provider there, UMass Medical Center, the FQHCs, and the local health department recognized that they were facing some really difficult times in that particular region of the state, and that collectively they could work together to address the almost increasing urgency of the community needs that were identified in the assessment process. So they used that fiscal crisis as an opportunity to forge new and stronger partnerships. A theme that you'll hear when we highlight the states that resonates is leveraging work that's underway. So there's no need, just because of the IRS requirement, to invent new ideas, new issues to focus on, but really look at the work that you've already begun with the hospitals, the community health centers, and your public health partners, and try to leverage those and package them in a different way. And so in Central Massachusetts, they took advantage of an opportunity that the state health department had established through a prevention and wellness trust fund, and they were one of the communities that received a grant. And the specific health conditions that all the grantees focused on in the trust fund were around pediatric asthma, falls prevention, and hypertension. So moving from a regional example, sort of smaller example, to a more urban example in Massachusetts, we highlighted the work that Massachusetts General Hospital is doing with three communities in the city of Boston. So MGH is a large 900-bed teaching hospital in Boston. I think someone told me earlier this week, they continue to have the only disparities institute in a hospital, and so this is something that is part of their mission. It's part of the fabric of the work that they do. And so they worked with the neighborhoods of Chelsea, Charlestown, and Revere, which are in the northern part of the city of Boston, to develop three separate CHNAs. The common theme or topic that these communities prioritized across the board was around substance use. Not a surprise, right? Because I imagine that many of you in the audience, regardless of which state, whether you're in an urban, suburban, rural area, I think it's safe to say that many of us have been touched by and impacted by the epidemic of prescription drug abuse and overdose and increasing heroin use in our communities. And so this was something that they collectively agreed to focus on and developed a 10-year strategic plan to prioritize that the services, the data that they were collecting on substance use disorders, and specifically focus their energy on trying to focus on the higher rates of hospitalization, longer lengths of inpatient stays, readmission rates, and then overall substance abuse prevention and treatment efforts. And they've institutionalized this work by building in community health into one of their pillars within their mission statement. So quickly, in terms of lessons learned, this is not a surprise that the work that's done on the ground on community health improvement really requires a lot of resources and very diverse resources. And it's not only financial or monetary resources, but really strong partnerships with a really diverse group of stakeholders, especially if you want to sustain and build on the efforts that are underway, because a lot of effort, I know, goes into developing the assessments, and you don't want to stop at the assessment. You really want to use that data to design targeted interventions. There's a heavy role for public health in terms of providing data, and so at the ASTHO national level, this is something that we encourage our state health officials and their teams to promote with their hospital partners, that they have a role in providing public health data and working on the assessments, and then a convening role on the implementation strategy phase in bringing together different partners. This core public health in terms of what we do. And then finally, in terms of resources, trying to align different reporting requirements that the state might be layering on top of the IRS requirements and streamlining that is something that we heard was important to address. Implementation is challenging. Sometimes there's overlapping jurisdictions and they don't necessarily match up or sync up. And so that's something that not only in Massachusetts, but we hear from other states, hospitals, local and state health departments are focused on. And then this notion of an anchor institution. So I think if you've been here this week and you're talking about health equity and on policies, that this idea of having a nonprofit anchor institution is one way to achieve collective impact and to build sustainability into those efforts. So Maryland was another state that was highlighted in the issue brief. And again, when we looked at what our colleagues in Maryland were leading in terms of community health improvement efforts, they really did build on and leverage lots of work that had already been underway. So there was already an environment that helped facilitate the work that they were doing with their hospital, some of them unique. So one of them is the rate setting function, for example, in Maryland, which falls under the health department. There's no other health department that does hospital rate setting. So that is unique, but one of the factors that we think helped with their efforts. They launched a state health improvement process to provide and create this framework for accountability and engage their local health department in those efforts. I've already mentioned the rate setting function, which allowed them to collect, standardize, and do QA on the community benefit data for each of the hospitals in Maryland. They also, last year, got approval from CMS to modernize their hospital waiver program. So they moved from the traditional fee-for-service approach really to a global-based payment system, and that was a key facilitator. And then finally, there had already been work under Secretary Sharstein's leadership to create these health enterprise zones, which had a heavy emphasis on health disparities and really focusing on how to reduce the burden of disease and increasing healthcare costs associated with these health disparities within these zones. So they had that as the foundation for that work. MedStar was one of the Maryland examples that was highlighted in the issue brief. It's a large nonprofit health system that operates 7 hospitals in Maryland and then 3 hospitals in the District of Columbia. They had a process where they created what they called an advisory task force, or an ATF, that was based at each hospital, and these groups reviewed a whole set of data, so community health data, local state data, and then worked collaboratively to design their community health goals. For each hospital, they worked with the ATFs to identify a community benefit service area, and then worked with their community members to deploy a survey to help identify what were the top health priorities within these community benefit service areas. I think there was consensus that heart disease was the top priority in terms of the responses, and so that is what they focus their energy on in their assessment and implementation process, and they're continuing to build on this work in this next round. So moving from an urban example to a more rural example, in the issue brief we highlighted work in Worcester and Allegheny counties. So Worcester County is on a rural jurisdiction on Maryland's eastern shore. There's one community hospital, and they partnered with 2 other surrounding counties to produce a regional assessment. They pooled their resources to hire a consultant to work with them in developing their assessment. And one of the key features that they said was their recipe for success was this shared governance model to help build a coalition across the regions and really shared resources to make this happen in that region. And they were able to leverage that work to secure additional funds to help further health improvement activities. So they received, Allegheny County received a State Care Delivery Integration Award, and then Worcester County received a CMS patient-centered medical home grant, and then also a couple other state grants focused on chronic disease management. So key lessons learned in Maryland is that despite a strong emphasis on collaboration, that this work is really hard in terms of breaking down silos. Sometimes they experience challenges in syncing up the assessments and the timeframes, and that you need continued attention to do that well. You need leadership. I think this is stating the obvious, but leadership from the community, leadership at the hospitals, and with governmental public health to start and maintain the momentum once you've gotten beyond developing your assessments, and then legal barriers and how to address those through different policy approaches. And so they have one full-time attorney who was looking at how to overcome some of the legal barriers that the coalitions had flagged in terms of conflict of interest provisions, procurement laws and policies, and other issues that would facilitate formal agreements. So final example, really quickly, is from North Carolina. And in North Carolina, it is a decentralized public health system. The hospitals, local and state health agencies have worked on a range of different activities together for more than 30 years. There is a strong organization in the North Carolina Public Health and Hospital Collaborative, which is made up of public health leaders, hospital leaders, and community-based stakeholders that have worked on really focused health improvement initiatives. They have worked really collaboratively in terms of an advocacy platform, and they are really cutting edge in terms of the work that they're doing around data integration and creating interoperable systems to help really provide that framework so that there's a continuity of care as residents and patients are transitioning from different settings. They also, this is also the case in Michigan, I think, where they have mandatory local public health accreditation, which has requirements for submitting regular community health assessments. And so they were able to build on that work underway as they were working with hospitals on new assessments and implementation strategies. And they also have a very strong Institute for Public Health in the state. They have leveraged resources to look at the assessments and really move forward on different practice challenges and training needs that they were hearing from the provider side so that they could continue to work on their community health improvement efforts. What we're hearing is that, there has been a change in administration in North Carolina, and so, one thing that there is, concern about is that they can continue to build on this work and move it forward, but that's a factor I would flag for you that we're monitoring at ASCO. I'm actually going to try to quickly go through this because I'm looking at the time. These are two other county examples. In our issue brief, we tried to provide examples where the state was taking the lead in working with the hospital, and then also a local county lead. And so we focused on Pitt County and Vidant Health to look at work that they were doing with an academic hospital out of East Carolina University. Again, these themes come up across the states that we talk with and are featured in the issue brief, that the hospital leader and the local county health leader played a really important role in bringing together the different partners to look at issues of population health and community health improvement. So quickly, lessons learned. Transparency. So that was an issue that you saw in the final IRS regulations, that the assessments and the implementation strategies should be made readily available to the public so that they can see what the assessments had identified and what the strategies are going to look like. And they're moving in now to the next cycle starting in 2016 for reporting and harmonizing. How do you look at different requirements for community health centers, for hospitals, for public health in terms of accreditation and assessment, and try to harmonize so that it's not duplicative and that you're not going to the same communities for the same data, convening the same community members to look at assessments and strategies for addressing community needs. And then obviously sustainability. So people are looking at ways to leverage resources, find new resources to continue their work. So this is just quickly a resource list for materials that we have on our website, and also links to work that is going on in other organizations around community health improvement. And then finally, I mentioned at the top of the presentation our president's challenge on health equity, and this is the graphic that he used when he launched this challenge last month at our annual meeting, and then also earlier this week with the Surgeon General to talk about the triple aim of health equity and the three approaches that he intends on working on with our other state health officials to address health improvement. So looking at implementing health and all policies approaches, the notion of cross-sectoral collaboration as being key to these efforts to achieve health equity, building a new narrative. So this is similar to the RWJF culture of health approach, so really expanding the understanding of what creates health. And then finally, strengthening community capacity, so really empowering communities to address their health issues and to be at the table leading the conversations when policymakers are looking at developing health in all policies and creating this new narrative. So this is the triple aim for health equity that Dr. Ellinger will, you'll be hearing more about this in the upcoming year, and so we look forward to more opportunities to highlight the work that we're doing. So with that, I'll close and I'll hand off to Janelle. Do you want to hold for questions at the end? Okay. Thank you.